Isn't it exciting times we're living in? When Wes was saying about the completion of the works of God, I believe we're living right down in a period of time that's harvest time. Now, I don't know how long we've got. No one does, not even Jesus. But I know we're in the time of the seasons are dictating. We're living right down where we're going to see the miraculous. We're going to see the breaking forth of things we've never, ever imagined. What the early church had was fantastic. What the 48 revivals and whatever other revivals had was fantastic. But what's coming for us is going to supersede anything we've ever, ever seen before. And we look around, and I thought, if Pastor Wes keeps going, he's going to steal my sermon today. I love it when God does that. You know, everything's coming to fruition. That's why we see evil and good together, the tares and the wheat together. Everything is coming to fruition. We've seen such perversion that I didn't even know the names of things before 20 years ago, and I'm hearing all these names and terminologies and wokeism and whatever isms there are out there. And it's coming to fruition. That's why we're seeing it. And what we see the enemy doing, it's all in your face. He's going about like a roaring lion, knowing he has a little bit of time left. And it's in your face. Media's onto it. But what's happening in the hearts of God's people? It says the kingdom of God comes without observation. It's happening in the hearts of God's people now. There's an army arising. There's a group of people arising in the earth. There's such, in the book of Joel, the like of such have never been seen before. They're a new breed. They're a new generation. There are people who ain't going to take the muck from the enemy. I was going to say crap, but I won't say that here. They're not going to take it. Why should we take it? We're in charge, not him. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm in the most demonic part of all of Fiji. I know what smacking spirits is all about. We've had to do it from start to finish, and I've got a few I want to kick somewhere when I get back. But we're going to move. Our generation, people, young people, old people, kids are going to take up the challenge like never before. And I believe we're going to see powerful, powerful things. It's like, you know, in my area where I live in Fiji, it's a big hill. Halfway down the hill is a police barracks. Inside that police barracks is always a police officer. He's sitting there with his uniform and his badge, signifying he has authority to administer the law. Now, one day, a lady came home from work with a boyfriend. She's in the house up the hill, and her husband comes home. He's not a happy camper. So this very big Fijian lady starts running to the place of safety in the barracks. And the even bigger Fijian husband's after her. So they run inside the police barracks. And here's the little Indian constable watching two very large, and I mean they are large, Fijian couple. So he comes in the front door, the constable goes out the back door, and she got walloped inside, true story, inside the barracks. Something's wrong. He didn't have the power to back up the authority, the badge and the uniform. But I tell you something, if he'd pulled out an M16 or a revolver, even if he shook, said, stop, he would have stopped. The church has been given the power and the authority. We don't have to run out the back door when Satan comes in the front door. We can blast his head off because we've been given the authority. The Father gave the power and the authority to the Son. The Son gave the power and the authority to the church. And it's ours. like it was the sun's. It is ours. We've got the power. And over in the book of Acts 1:8, there's a great scripture talking about when the power was given. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If we were saying that in relation to here, Jerusalem is the city. He's given us power in Christ Church and Judea, the region, Canterbury and Samaria, Aotearoa, New Zealand, and to the ends of the earth. And God is allowing us to have total, absolute power and authority. We just got to get a hold of that. And I believe as a whole, most of the church is living so much below the intended thing that God was wanting to do. But we have followed the plan. God has a plan in motion. And I believe never has there been a time like we're living in. Fruition of all things. Completion of all things. The plan that God started from the beginning is coming to fruition, and it's going to be the most powerful rescue plan to planet Earth that any generation has ever known about. And I know when Paul started to write about the last days, he said, I'm a man born out of the wrong time. Oh my gosh, I want to be part of that. We are part of that. And I don't know how many generations, if there is to come or whatever, but I know God is on track and he's doing what he wants to do in the time frame he wants to do, and we're going to see the most powerful manifestation of God's power on planet Earth we've ever seen. It's going to be power that's going to make the church unstoppable. I'm not listening to this rubbish. You know, the enemy wants us to think we're the tail and not the head. He's got it round the wrong way. We are the head. He is the tail. And at Luke 10:19, behold, I love when it says behold, take notice of this. I'll give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all, not a bit, not a little bit, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I want us to look at this scripture. I nearly jumped out of my skin when I got a bit of a revelation on this. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, inside every seed is the capacity to bring forth after its own kind. When you and I were born again, we asked for Jesus to wash us with his blood. All our sins have been washed away or thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, no longer exist really. They're gone. Because that power in the blood is powerful. But we also invite him into our heart. The first Son of God in seed form, with the capacity, this is why I was jumping out of my skin, to bring forth after its own kind. When I plant in my veggie garden tomatoes, I don't eat bananas. That's a revelation to some, I know. But when I plant tomatoes, that seed has the capacity to bring forth after its own kind. So when I ask the first Son of God to come into my heart, I give my heart the right environment for that seed to grow. Every seed needs the right fertilizer, the right sunshine, the right soil. But inside my heart has been planted the first mighty Son of God with the capacity to bring forth after its own kind. Woohoo! I was coming over the hill from Hokitika. I nearly jumped out and preached this to the sheep. I was so excited on the road. I nearly did. I tell you, this has been burning in my soul. What impact did the first Son of God have on planet Earth? Even our time frame, AD, BC, are governed by when he walked this earth. What about a multiplicity group of sons of God whose seed in the heart has been so implanted, matured, and it's come to full fruition as the plans and purposes of God are on track? What sort of influence could a multiplicity group of sons of God with the same power, the same authority, and you know that word power in the book of Acts is the word dunamos in the Greek, where we get dynamite from. That word comes from the word dynamite. We get it from that word. And God puts dynamite into the hands of every mature son of God. M16, when the enemy comes in the front door, bang, gone. We are in exciting times. God is looking for mature sons. You ever hear your mum and dad say, "Wish you'd grow up"? I have. Well, I think God's been sitting back waiting. And slowly, the church, through persecution, through weirdness in the world, people are starting to hear the call. I believe the church is listening. Those that have an ear to hear, listen what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And God's calling us up into higher realms of authority than we've ever known before. And when we take our position of having power and authority in the realms of the Spirit, that's where it starts, it's going to be manifested down here. You know, every revival throughout history has been preceded by prayer. And I don't know about you, but my secret place is the bath. And I've never had so many baths in all my life as I've had the last 6 months. I like watching some things on TV, not much because it's rubbish, but I've just lost interest. And I've got interest in a bath. I hope there's no, you know, weird whatever's there. But I just got to go to the bath. And I just, you know, we're fighting a battle, but it's an incredible battle because the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're to the pulling down of strongholds. They're praise, worship. There's intimacy with him. There's connection with him. And as we're plugging into him, you become like the one you hang around the most with. And if you hang around the most with rubbish on TV, that's what you'll become. I was driving down the road from Ashburton on Saturday, yesterday, and the Christian radio said Kiwi kids in New Zealand on average waste 42 hours a week on the internet. You could have a full-time job for that. How much time are we wasting on this, that, and the other? Few repenting now, I can see. I had to. You know, we have to get focus and make the important thing the important thing. And you know, I just find myself, you know, and our weapons are praise and worship. It's you don't even have to go out and slap anyone over the head. It's happening in the realms of the area of the heavenlies. And the more we're in contact with him, it's going to be manifested down here. And they're great weapons, anyone, praising God. Sometimes I just sit there Do nothing. Just soak in, literally, in the bath. Soak in his presence. And I got a revelation once. We've got quite a few challenges in our school. And God said, you know what? Pour it out to me. Then pull the plug hole. And it'll all go away. I thought, oh my gosh, that's pretty cool. And so we can do that. You know, as we pour it out to him, it can go down the plug hole. But God is looking for us to tap in. I believe intimacy is going to be the key of the last moves of God. It's going to be people that are going to be so intimate. And you might think, I don't have much time. Well, you're driving to work. You're picking the kids up. You can be doing praying and seeking God. We just got to get more strategic, I believe, as a group of people throughout the earth to really tap in where we can into the things of God. So this is, it just almost pounced out at me that we are the, he is the first son, but a multiplicity group of sons. And in the conference we heard about kings and priests. That's us, ruling and reigning. And we're sons representing our Father in heaven. And John chapter 1, verse 1, the Word became flesh who dwelt among us. I like to say, so flesh, you and I, could become the Word. The Word became flesh who dwelt among us. So flesh, you and I, could become the Word. Wow. Yeah. Whoa. Anyway. I got that from an old man about 50 years ago from America who used to say that. Have you heard that in America? Oh, you should hear that in America. Ephesians 4:13. And this is talking about the ministry, the fivefold and the giftings, all of that. Do you know every one of you is in the ministry? Not one isn't in the ministry. It might be cleaning the toilets. It might be taking someone shopping to give them a hand, but we're all in the ministry. And sometimes it kind of annoys me sometimes that if you're holding a microphone behind the pulpit, somehow people think you'll get a better reward. You won't. You'll get the reward according to how you fulfilled the call of God upon your life. And if you help someone behind the pulpit holding a microphone who's a prophet or something like that, you'll get a prophet's reward. How good is God? We just got to find out what our ministry is and do it to the best of our ability. Do we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God? To a perfect man. God wants us to grow up. Grow up into him. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until Christ is fully formed in us. And I don't think any other generations had the privilege of what's happening today, where Christ is beginning to be formed more and more in people's lives right throughout planet Earth, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And isn't that, there's so much crazy doctrine out there. I mean, really crazy stuff. There's a guy preaching against women preachers and in the area I'm staying in Australia. And you got Darlene Check and some absolute incredible people, and he's calling them witches. Come figure. How would you like to be in his sandals? Anyway, you know, they're just, there's crazy doctrines coming out here. And it says here, carrying about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. May grow up. I think every pastor would love to say that a few times, you know. Into him who is the head of, which is Christ. And so God is looking for us to fully mature, to fully allow that seed, the first son of God, to so develop in our hearts that it will produce after its own kind with the same power and the same authority. Romans 8:29, it says, that he may be the first fruits among many brethren. Jesus, the first, and many more would come after him. Oh my gosh. It blew me away when I got this crazy imagination, but I was thinking of all the wonderful things Jesus did, you know, riding a donkey or walking on the road. What about us with jets and all sorts of things and, you know, Phillips Transport that is going to be released. I mean, our mind cannot comprehend what God has for this time and in this generation. I believe we're going to see the most incredible moves of God we've ever known. Unless a grain of wheat in John 12:24 falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And we're the much grain. He died that we would be a company of sons that would arise. And that entails male and female. And in Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And I know God is looking for a people that will have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. He's after people that will tune in. You can't tune in to God and get a absolute blueprint for a massive revival in 2 minutes or 5 minutes before you go to work in the morning in prayer. That means just total yielding. And I love it in the book of Revelation where all of these amazing elders throw their crowns before him and say, Lord, and they just fall on their faces before God and they just worship. And we've got to get to that point where it's not about us, it's not about our church, it's not about our program, it's about him. What's his strategy? What's he wanting us to do? And when we're plugged into him and we're recharged by him, I tell you, no limits, no limits. I used to say to my Bible student, no fear, no limits. When there's no fear, there's no limits. And over in Romans 8:18, the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. God even his creation is poised, waiting for the maturing sons of God. And I started to think about something I'd looked up many years ago, John Knox. John Knox was a preacher in the 16th century over in Scotland. And when he was born at his time, Reformation was happening in Germany with Luther. And God was moving. And in his country, they were barbarians. They were wild clan fighters, kill each other type fellas. It was a mess. And this guy started to pray and pray. And he prayed in such a way, he said, give me Scotland lest I die. Give me Scotland lest I die. There was a desperation in his heart that superseded anything he ever saw or ever experienced before. He was desperate, not looking at what the enemy's doing, not looking at the opposition or the impossibilities. He's saying, give me Scotland lest I die. I get like that for the South Pacific as I see China moving in this way, Islam moving in this way. Now, just to add to the mix, we've got the Mexican drug cartel taking over the islands. I'm not tolerating it. I'm telling you, not on my watch, mate. And we've got to get some fight in us. You know, we've got to say, you're not having Christchurch. You're not having our youth. We're not putting up with this. We're going to rage war in the heavens and see it manifested in the earth. I saw an interesting thing. The Olympic Committee have approved that only women can run and do the athletes as women. What? Sorry, anyway, that's another. We're in stupid times. How stupid is that? Only women can run and do athletes and compete as women. And they had to fight, these poor girls, because a transgender male, you can't change those Y and X and all those things. You can't change it, sorry. You can put a dress on it and lipstick, but it won't change. We got to stand. Having done all to stand, we stand. Don't take what the enemy is doing. And you know what? This wicked Mary, Queen of Scots, hated John Knox. Oh, a corrupt government hating preachers. It's a new concept. Mary, Queen of Scots, is accredited as saying, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe." I would love that said about me. How good is that? By the time John Knox died, it was the richest, most prosperous, most developed country, and most orderly in all of Europe. And a commentary after commentary I read said, John Knox prayed. John Knox wouldn't take the status quo. I can only say words like that when I'm anointed. I get it mucked up otherwise. God is looking for people today who will make a stand, who will not compromise. Is there any John Knoxes in here? I just feel to do something. Not come forward. If you're sick and tired of seeing things on the news saying this is what you're going to believe now, this is what you're going to do. If you want to see change in Christchurch, Canterbury, New Zealand, and the uttermost parts of the earth, the nations, just want you to stand up, not come forward, just stand. Because I'd like the enemy to see this today. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Never was good at maths, but if you multiply all that, there's nations, there's everything. Nothing's going to stop God's plan. Nothing. Because it's happening according to God's time frame. Now, Lord, we just present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Lord, we're willing to rage war in the heavens. Lord, we're willing to put aside, Lord, maybe things that we've needed to repent of, Lord, that has taken up our time, maybe hobbies or technology. Lord, we're willing to put it aside and say, Lord, we're totally yours. Lord, our whole life is given over to you. Whatever you would like us to do, we're available. And Lord, we're prepared to rage war in the heavens. We're prepared to pray. And Lord, if you want to wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning and cause us to fall to our knees because you need us to pray, we're available. Lord, if you want us to do whatever you want us to do, Lord, we're available. Lord, we're signing up. Lord, we know you've given us the uniform like the policeman had. You've given us the badge signifying that we have the authority from all heaven to represent you. But Lord, you've given us the dunamis, Lord, the dynamite, the power to blow up the enemy. You've backed up the authority with your power. And Lord, we stand in that today. And Lord, we pray for Christchurch. We pray, Lord, that you'll have mercy upon it. Lord, as those prayer warriors go from street to street, they will go with dunamis. They will go with the plans of God, the fruition of the plans of God coming to pass. Lord, that there would be fruit brought forth. And we just thank you for that today. Oh God, we're available. We're yours. Lord, just move like you've never moved before. And Lord, we just thank you for the people that have stood today. Lord, we mean business. We know you have always meant business. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
I think that's all. Just stay standing for a moment. Thank you so much, Marion. Love your spirit. Love what you're seeing and hearing and feeling. Just if there's anybody here, you've never received Christ into your life. You've never opened the door of your heart, opened the door of your life and asked Jesus to come into your life. It'll be the today. Today is the perfect day to begin to follow Jesus. Perfect day to become part of the family of God. And you may have understood many things that Marion said today. You may not have understood a lot, but something's touched your heart. Something's been moving in your heart. And you know that over this last while, God has been drawing you back. You've had questions, you've had wonderings, but God has been drawing you to himself. And so today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to, we're going to pray with you and receive Jesus into your life and become part of the family of God forever and actually have your sin forgiven and be put back on the road, back onto a life of meaning and hope and purpose, and to be reconciled or to be rejoined back to your Creator, to your Heavenly Father. It's the most incredible miracle that can ever take place in our lives. I was 19 when I got born again or received Christ into my life. The best decision I ever made, the second best, was marrying Janet. The best decision I ever made was opening my heart and receiving Jesus and dedicating my life to him. So if that's you today, we're going to wait a bit longer. We're just going to give you the opportunity to come up. If there's somebody next to you, you've either brought a friend or you come or you've just met them today, just ask them, I'll come up with you if you'd like to come. Because they may just need a little bit of courage just to help them. If that's you, just come on. Just ask the person next to you, I'll come up with you if you need to come. I'm quite serious. Just ask the person next to you, I'll come up. If you don't know them, you don't know where they're at. But just ask them, I'll come with you. If that's you, come now. Just come now. Just come now. If that's you, come now. Come up to the front, join with me. We're all going to pray with you and lead you to Christ, if that's you. Maybe there's somebody here and you've been away from the Lord. You've been out of fellowship. There's been something going on in your heart where you either became disappointed or hurt or just distracted. And you know that God has been calling you back to him, calling you back into the family, back into the house of God, back into fellowship with him. If that's you, love you to join as well. Just come on up. I'm going to give it a few more moments. If there's nobody, we're going to pray for people online because there could be somebody online that's answering this call right now in their lounge or in their caravan or wherever they are in the world. And so if that's you, come on up now. Come on up. We're going to pray with you. Going to give it 5 more seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, right. We're going to turn to the cameras. If you turn around and stretch out your hand to that camera that's on top of that pole back there. And we're going to pray because there may well be somebody there who's just saying, yes, that's me. Maybe they're in a shut-in situation. Maybe you're in another town or city, maybe another part of the world, but you're watching today and God's been touching your heart. We want to pray for you. If you just reach your hand forward on the other side of the screen, you just touch the screen, whether it's a phone or a TV or a computer, whatever it is, just touch that screen as a point of contact with us and with the Lord. We're going to pray with you and we're going to ask you to pray with us. So all of us here are going to pray with you on the other side of that screen. And if you would join in with us all praying this, then something very powerful is going to happen in your spirit, in your soul. And if you're genuine receiving Jesus today, you're going to be born again. Born again into the family of God. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I open my heart to you today. And I confess that I've been a sinner and I need to be forgiven. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came into the world, lived a sinless life, And he died on a cross, not for his own sin, but to pay the debt of my sin. Because I broke your law. And I needed forgiving. So Jesus, forgive me today. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for forgiving me and making me part of your family today. I receive your eternal life right now. And I thank you, Lord. I commit my life to you and to follow you all the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Let's bless him. Thank you. If you've prayed that with us today, please be in touch with us. We'd love to help you further and help you grow in the Lord. So God bless you.